This confession of faith was written by Mark Hamilton for a responsive reading a few years ago. So I will read the first section and you can respond. Number one, is there a basis for the value of human life? Who is the author and giver of life?
God is the author and giver of life. All life is given from God. The word of God declares, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, I am the breath of life.
When does human life begin? Are there other passages of Scripture that support this view of human life? How should the people of God respond to such horror?
We are called to stand for justice. The people of God should speak out against this injustice and unrighteousness. Psalm 72, 13 to 14 says, for he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy, and the lives of
these humans, unborn humans, have no voice. We must be their voice. We must cry out to God on their behalf. We must grieve their deaths. We must call our nation to repentance and must continue to boldly speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Our country is under the judgment of God for the continuing murder of unborn children. The Christian church is part of this judgment also, and that we have not fought the legal and culture wars in such a way as to reverse Roe v. Wade and the scourge of abortion. We deceive ourselves if we imagine God will withhold his wrath indefinitely, and that if our nation does not repent, we can survive. Should Christians resist civil laws in order to oppose abortion through civil disobedience? Many prominent Christian leaders speak out against civil disobedience, saying that this is not ethical. However, this is not a scriptural position. In fact, the Egyptian midwives were perhaps the earliest anti-abortion activists who disobeyed the king and saved the male Israelite children, including Moses. Rahab engaged in civil disobedience by lying to the authorities while hiding spies. All of these people are praised in Scripture for their faith and actions of civil disobedience. Blocking access to abortion clinics, picketing, attacking the practices and characters of abortion doctors, nurses, and employees are legitimate tactics that have resulted in the closing of hundreds of abortion clinics in our country. Whenever I mention civil disobedience in an evangelical setting, like clockwork, I am asked, have you ever, and it's always, have you ever read Romans 13? In fact, I have read Romans 13 and have a few observations. First, Romans 13 was written by the Apostle Paul. That's usually not too controversial. About half of the epistles he wrote were written from prison. And why was Paul in prison? Civil disobedience for preaching and teaching the gospel in public, which was a violation of civil law. We are going to find that Romans 13 does not allow Christians to check their moral compasses at the door of the local magistrate. Romans 13 will not allow us to say, quote, we were just following orders, or quote, we were just obeying the law. Romans 13:3, for rulers are a terror to good works. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Romans 13:3. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Do what is good. And of course, our immediate response has to be, by what standard is this good? Well, the Christian has only one standard by which he determines what is good, and that is God's explicit law. How else can we determine what is good? So, are we to do good by God's standard or an evil ruler? We can do good, or we can obey an evil ruler or evil law. We cannot do both. Romans 13:4. For he, the civil ruler, is a minister of God and an avenger who brings wrath upon those who practice evil. So here it becomes very obvious that the apostle is not talking about rulers who are tyrants or usurpers, for tyrants and usurpers most definitely are a terror to good works and a friend of evil workers. The call here is not to subject to magistrates. Here the call is circumscribed by the text definition of a magistrate, who is defined as someone who is God's minister to us for good. If he is a minister to us for evil, then he does not fall into the category of a magistrate to whom we are to be subject to. For example, tyrants and usurpers are a friend to evil workers who are abortion providers, such as the Supreme Court justices who decided Roe v. Wade. These kind of magistrates are not to be subject, for they are ministers to evil for us. Hear the words of John Knox as he talks about the sword of justice to the Bloody Mary, Queen of Scots. Quote, the sword of justice, madam, is God's and given to princes and rulers for one end. If they fail in their duty and spare the wicked, then those who intervene and deal out the requisite punishment will not offend God. And from John Calvin, quote, for earthly princes lay aside their power when they rise up against God and are unworthy to be reckoned among the number of mankind. We ought rather to spit upon their heads than to obey them.